what can I do to like spread my knowledge? So I was like, I'll open a store, but it's gonna be like supplements on steroids.
I really like what you said about the higher quality food you feed, the less supplements you're gonna have to feed.
Absolutely. It's the same in the people world. You can take a million supplements, but until you fix your diet, you're only gonna get so far.
It's not really based on weight. It's based on trying it, seeing how your dog reacts, and then making adjustments accordingly.
This was just something that was in a book that was written by another human. And unfortunately, humans have agendas and money rules this world. I have made fear-based decisions in a vet's office and deeply regretted it later.
You might not be an expert in veterinary medicine, but you are an expert in your own individual dog, and that has to
Yes.
be taken into account.
Start young, start now, start with diet, and track everything.
So, Krista, before we get started, thank you so much for being on our podcast today. I think you are actually the very first store owner.
And vet tech.
No, I think Joni was a former vet tech.
Oh.
But yes, I think you might be the second vet tech we've had on. So, very
Awesome.
cool. Welcome. Thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
I love it. So, first, before we get into it, can you kind of give us a little bit of your background, kind of how you got to the position you're in now?
I've always loved animals. I grew up kind of a horsey girl. But I always loved like the nitty-gritty type of stuff, like cleaning hooves and like kind of icky stuff. Even like I had guinea pigs, hamsters, dogs, all that growing up. So I always loved animals, but like many people in their 20s, I didn't really know what I was doing. And then I kind of stumbled into a job in my hometown at a feed store. So really basic stuff, but that's where I started to get to know like pet food, even horse feed and stuff like that. And then it kind of evolved from there. I worked in a raw dog bone trachea bully stick dehydrated treat company. I did the manufacturing, the processing, the sales, everything around
Wow.
that. Yeah, that was actually really cool, but at the time it was brutal work.
I bet.
So then one of the stores that we used to sell bones to was this place called Natural Pet Market. And I thought it was a really fascinating store because they were one of the only ones that had supplements in it. So I went from the dog bone company to that store. I started working in that store. And that's kind of where things really took off in terms of where I am now. The woman who owned that store was really kind of a pioneer in terms of like actually having supplements on her shelf and tinctures and stuff. So it got me really inquisitive and wanting to learn more and started to read books. And then because that store was a little bit more focused, people would come in with medical issues, and I wasn't super familiar with these medical issues. So that led me to be like, I think I want to become a vet tech. Like, I think I can handle it. I'm really into this stuff. So I became a vet tech at a very conventional practice, but I'm grateful for everything they trained me for, and went from there to a more holistic practice. I now work still at that holistic practice. I work at another integrative clinic, so they do conventional and Eastern medicine. And then working for a chiropractic neurologist who's like the best in the world. And then it kind of just went from there where I was like, okay, I have all this supplement knowledge, and I feel like a lot of pet parents don't know where to start when it comes to like natural health protocols and supplements. What can I do to like spread my knowledge? So I was like, I'll open a store, but it's going to be like supplements on steroids with all the knowledge in-house to actually help you pick the right supplement, know how to use it, and coach you along the way. So that's where me and my husband opened up Pug and Hound Pet Apothecary 4 years ago. And it's basically just blossomed from there in terms of being like an education source and, support for pet parents, but I still have kept all of my other jobs so that I can continue to evolve, know what's going on in the industry, and keep pet parents updated.
You just love to work your ass off, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm
I
making up for lost time. I
guess.
suffered from Lyme disease for
Oh,
quite a
wow.
few years of my life, and it was pretty debilitating until I, actually got treatment and all of that. So I just say I'm making up for lost time.
Yeah, I love it. So can you tell us a bit more about your store? You say you carry a lot of the supplements. How does your store differ from, say, a standard natural pet store that somebody might have local to them?
Well, there's a few ways. So my product selection is very curated. I have a whole wall of supplements, only the best of the best. I don't carry ones with cruddy inactive ingredients, nothing with sugars, like artificial flavoring, any of that. But I also have all vet techs on staff, which is amazing. I've
Wow.
been very, very blessed. All of my staff has that veterinary knowledge on hand to actually know, like, hey, your dog's dealing with pancreatitis. I actually know what that is. I know how to, deal with this instead of just kind of guessing at products that say they're for something. So it's really what makes me different is not only like my product selection, but the knowledge base behind all of those products. I have the people there to actually support pet parents in picking things out and, making the right decision. And then I also do nutritional consults where I go over like a whole load of health protocols from diet, treats, supplements, lifestyle, environmental factors, how to all kind of put that together and make a plan for pets. So we really do offer a lot more in terms of really getting down to health conditions and making a protocol that makes sense for pet parents. And then instead of them just buying products and being like, well, this kind of worked, a lot of them don't know how to use it for or don't know how long to use it for, and that's also an issue. So having that knowledge base is key for helping pet parents make good decisions and keep with it.
So you obviously know this, but the integrative veterinary world is absolutely tiny right now. Have you run into any struggles hiring vet techs that are kind of on this side of things?
Yeah, absolutely. I've thought about that, like, when I'm thinking about how grateful I am, I'm like, gosh, I have really hit the jackpot with the vet techs I have because there just aren't enough that are really into the holistic side of things. I mean, obviously, all these holistic clinics that exist have vet techs, but I think vet techs are an interesting group of people when it comes to like their training and background, and they're very, very passionate and sometimes like bullying. So I feel like a lot of holistic vet techs just don't talk about it because they feel like in the vet tech community as a whole, holistic vet techs are not looked really highly upon. There's just a lot of nonsense when it comes to people's thoughts and beliefs about holistic clinics, as we all know. But in the Midwest, I'm pretty blessed. There is a pretty good concentration of really good practitioners around here. But I'm always like, what do I do if I lose one of my staff members?
Yeah, no
Because there's just not
kidding.
enough holistic vet techs. I've thought about if I had time to actually have like a Facebook group or some kind of common area for holistic vet techs, because I don't think there really is a place for techs that work in integrative and holistic practices to chat with one another and learn more like there is with the conventional side of veterinary technicians.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
So you have just this wealth of knowledge of both common and uncommon practices. So what are some of the uncommon practices that you have been finding especially beneficial lately?
So there's quite a few, but I'll say applied kinesiology is probably the one where I think people have a heavy amount of misunderstanding or have no idea what applied kinesiology is.
I'm one of those people. Two of those people right here, so.
Yeah, so Dr. Carl DiStefano is that chiropractic neurologist for people and animals that I work with, and he uses applied kinesiology in his practice. So if you're familiar with the term muscle testing, people do muscle
No.
testing. So applied kinesiology is basically a more advanced and accurate way to do muscle testing. They kind of get misconstrued and considered one and the same, which they kind of are, but they kind of aren't. It depends on who's doing it. So using applied kinesiology properly, I have just seen some absolutely amazing things happen. With Dr. Carl, for example, I mean, I have seen him fix paralyzed animals in a single chiropractic visit, which is nothing short of an actual
Whoa.
miracle, but he uses applied kinesiology. He doesn't just like palpate along the dog's spine, look for a misalignment, and pop it back into place. He actually uses hand modes. So he invented like hand signals to use for muscle testing to get to like the deeper issue at hand. So, like, for example, a dog is gnawing at one paw specifically. And a lot of people would think, like, oh, they just have allergies. They're licking their paw. Well, that can actually be a cervical disc issue. So it can be a neck issue. So looking at their paw and adjusting their paw isn't going to do anything. But if you use applied kinesiology to figure out where that's shooting up from pain-wise and those nerve nerve signals, it's usually from a cervical disc injury. So that's a great example of how you look at something and it's actually, that's a much broader picture. So you have to kind of zoom out, and applied kinesiology really can allow practitioners to do that. And fortunately, Dr. Carl does have a school for that, so he teaches veterinarians and chiropractors how to use that technique. Other than applied kinesiology, just things that I have personally come across that I think are just not big enough yet. And I know you've interviewed Jonathan from O3 Vets, but I really think ozone is one of those things that's going to be more and more popular and usable once people get to understand it. And I think that is definitely a more uncommon practice that you see very few clinics that understand how to utilize ozone therapy for animals. And I think that is a really, really great thing as well. The other thing I learned from my dog Bruce was how to microdose steroids. And that's definitely not something that a lot of vets will talk about or are comfortable with. So there's just these little things, but again, it's all my dog. He's always my inspiration why I do what I do, but he has taught me all these interesting things. And fortunately, I can talk to people like Julianne Lee and Jonathan Lowe and all these amazing people in this little niche community we have, how to help my animal. And it's just been amazing in terms of applying it for other people and being like, hey, have you tried ozone? Have you tried, chiropractic, applied kinesiology, all these things that people just don't think of or their vet might not be aware of.
So we need to sidetrack a little for a minute. Can you give us the story of Bruce? I think everybody needs to know.
Yes, of course. He's my life, so he deserves the spotlight. So Bruce is my now 13-year-old black pug, and Bruce started out with a totally normal, healthy life, really no issues. I almost canceled his insurance because he was so healthy. But I had what I'd call a transitional year. I try not to say worst year of my life anymore because usually, it's darkest before the dawn. So in 2015, I had a really rough year. And unfortunately, I didn't manage my stress very appropriately. And Bruce absorbed a lot of my stress and he started to fall apart. He started acting kind of lame, not walking, not wanting to jump on things. And long story short, had to have a spinal surgery. That spinal surgery was the start of a cascade of events that led to a diagnosis of what's called pug myelopathy, which is a spinal cord disease that specifically affects pugs and is painless, but it causes all sorts of issues. So Bruce came out of that first surgery fine, but then as time went on, he couldn't really urinate. He developed a condition called neurogenic bladder, which was where his previous spinal cord injury affected the nerve that goes to his bladder to contract it and send signals to the brain that I need to pee. So I then began to have to catheterize him twice a day. So I still do that. Been doing that for almost 7 years now, and he's
You're a
never had a
saint.
UTI,
My
which is
goodness.
amazing.
And is
But he.
that literally the process of inserting a tube into his penis?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. A
Twice a
lot of people.
day?
Yeah. So since I'm a tech, I was able to do that, whereas a lot of people are not comfortable with that procedure. But unfortunately, Bruce was not able to be expressed, where you just kind of like squeeze them and they push out their pee. Like two neurologists, four vets, and a bunch of techs couldn't do it, including myself. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to catheterize him. So it's actually been all right. But because of his spinal cord disease, there's been other issues. Obviously he doesn't move a lot, but the spine and the gut are intertwined. The spine feeds the gut and the gut feeds the spine. And if there is a miscommunication there's going to be kind of an uphill battle. So I'm always constantly having to support, adjust, and maintain his gut health just because of his spinal cord disease. All the other things that come along with that. Obviously, when you have damage to your central nervous system, there's going to be effects from that. But again, Bruce has taught me everything because of it. And he's very, very strong little guy. But 3 years ago, he developed thrombocytopenia, which we can't really tie an exact cause to. Thrombocytopenia is a bleeding disease where dogs or people lose their ability to clot their blood, thrombocytes or platelets. So he lost pretty much all of his platelets. He was bleeding internally. This went on for several months. And I tried and tried, and this is why I'm an integrative fan because sometimes you do need, the big guns of medicine. I
Yeah,
tried to do everything
absolutely.
holistic I could for him, in terms of using homeopathics and Chinese herbs, but he kept having reoccurrences of this disease. So I had to use prednisone, which is where I learned how to microdose and how, and another kind of like uncommon thing, how to actually dose to the dog and not just the weight of the dog, like a book says. Because the first time around, I gave Bruce a pretty heavy dose of steroids because that's, what the book said in the veterinarian world. And he suffered a lot of consequences. His liver values skyrocketed. I had to do subcutaneous ozone therapy for fluids to kind of flush him out. So the next time this disease reared its ugly head, in December of last year, I used a much lower dose of steroids that would have been seen as like not therapeutic, but it worked really well for Bruce because he's a little more sensitive. So that's one of those things where it's like you have to look at the dog and not a piece of paper. So
Yeah.
Bruce was a great example of that. Like, dogs are individuals, they need to be treated that way and not just, here's the book, here's the formula, this is what we're going to do. So yeah, he's had quite the journey. He's doing really well now. I'm just grateful for every day I have with him and all the lessons he teaches me and everybody else. And he's like a fan favorite at the store. There are people that don't even have dogs that just come to visit Bruce. So
I love
they
it.
love him. He's got a funny little personality and he has a little raspy smoker's bark that makes everyone laugh. So
And 13 is nothing to bat an eye at, especially for a
no.
pug. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah, when he was diagnosed with that bladder disease, the conventional vet that I worked with at the time said he had a year to live, and that would have made him dead at 8, and now he's 13. So,
Gosh, that is so
yeah.
amazing. Well, and
Which is another lesson not to listen to expectancies all the time because they're
yeah.
usually doom and gloom.
Right. Well, and like what you've been talking about with not everything is like based on weight, that's becoming a huge theme in our life that we're learning. We just left AHVMA and we listened to a talk with Sarah Recker and Steve Brown, Susan Recker, excuse me. And they were talking about balancing food according to metabolic energy rather than weight. And that has kind of really opened my eyes to the fact like you can't just say, okay, and this is what we used to do with our homemade guide or the homemade diet guide. It's like, here's a recipe for a 60-pound dog, divide everything by two for a 30-pound dog. And it just doesn't really work that way. Same thing with like CBD when we started learning from Angela. It's not really based on weight. It's based on trying it, seeing how your dog reacts, and then making adjustments accordingly. So I'm really glad you brought that up because that seems to be a big theme right now.
Yeah, that's true. And I really think Angela brought a huge attention to it with CBD because
Yeah.
CBD is so all over the place in people's recommendations in terms of dosage. I mean, I've seen just, I like laugh at some of the labels I see and I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to work. And this is why, is because we don't take Tylenol according to our body weight. Doctors will
Wow.
prescribe you a prescription amount of Tylenol if it's warranted, or you can just take
Yeah.
one if you have a headache, right? But that has nothing to do with your body weight. It has to do with your metabolic factors, your age, all that other stuff. So yeah, it really is important to take that into consideration. And I think, it's a lot of antiquated practices that need to be looked at again now that we have a ton of science and research and data out there. Like, come on, let's get with the times and like evolve. Medicine needs to be much more individualized than it is.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So I want to get into the topic of nutrition. Specifically, I kind of want to know like what you feed your own dogs, what your kind of personal feeding philosophy is. Do you have more dogs than just Bruce?
Yes.
Okay.
When my husband and I met, he came into our relationship with two dogs,
Oh,
Willie and
wow.
Xena. Willie's a hound mix and Xena is a pitty mix, and they're pretty much perfectly healthy. They're amazing dogs and they are terrified of Bruce.
Oh,
But
that
so our
surprises me.
no,
Bruce isn't
yeah,
very
I
scary.
oh, he's scary to other dogs.
Oh,
Most dogs
really?
don't mess with him. He's got an attitude. He
Yeah.
puts out big dog energy.
I love it.
But so the other two, yeah, they're all raw fed. Actually, Bruce eats Green Juju freeze-dried bison formula right now. I really try to keep with like the whole animal philosophy of feeding. I don't like separating things and taking things apart. It's kind of like with herbalism, right? Like, use the whole plant. It's meant to be all together. So when we feed, it's similar. Very much a whole food, ideally whole animal diet, if I can get it. With Bruce, we feed Bruce really based on energetics. Our other two dogs, one's kind of hot, one's kind of cold, so they just get a big rotation of stuff. Right now, they eat Viva Raw with frozen green juju and Solutions goat nog, so they get a whole mixture of things. But I kind of just pull from my store. I'm like, hey, this sounds fun for them. They're the fun dogs to feed because they don't have any issues, so we can kind of just throw whatever at them. But Bruce, yeah, that's what he eats right now. I have to make brewju for him because he can't have turmeric, so I can't use Green Juju's frozen blend. So I make my own with cucumber, celery, and dandelion greens,
And is
all
that
organic,
because
of
of his
course.
blood condition?
Yes,
Got
yeah.
it. That
I
makes
made the
sense.
mistake of giving him turmeric during his bleeding disease because I just didn't think about it. Because everyone's like, turmeric's so great. Use turmeric. It's great for this, that, and the other thing. And then he had another like crash of his platelets. So,
Yeah.
yeah. No
Huh.
turmeric for Bruce.
Right. Well, I have to say, it was an absolute shock. We were talking to Kelly a couple weeks ago, and we knew that they had this person on their team named Jeff. And I was like, oh, yeah, Jeff is like the sales guy. And we had met you separately at Super Zoo. And then
Yeah.
she was like, Jeff and Krista. And I was like, Jeff and Krista? Like, I know Jeff as the Green Juju salesman. I know Krista as the Pug and Hound person. I had no idea you guys were
Yes.
a couple. So, very cool to see all these different connections in the pet world.
I mean, it is a cool little family we have. But yeah, my husband Jeff did start recently for Green Juju so that we could kind of expand our store in terms of hiring more people. And he likes to get out there and travel and talk to different people every day. So it's worked well for him.
I love it.
So, supplements. They play a
My
big key
forte.
role. Yeah, and it's your bread and butter. I know that supplements are not really one size fits all, but
No.
are there any like general specific ones you think that most dogs could benefit from or that most pet parents should maybe consider?
Let's say, like, your
Yes.
average kind of healthy dog without a lot of issues. What kind of supplements would they benefit from?
So I would say my top supplement is omegas. Because there is just such an omega deficiency. And I learned that firsthand. So I listened to one of Rodney's many podcasts about omegas. And so I ordered up omega testing for my husband, and our three dogs. And I tested all of us. I'm the only one that came back sufficient because I take like 4 grams of omegas a day. And that was a huge eye-opener because, pet food says it has omegas in it, although that's not like required in any specific amount. So you just automatically think like, oh, this is good. It's got omegas. My dog's skin and coat health will be great. That's maybe true, but will they actually have a therapeutic dose of omegas? Highly unlikely you'll get it just from food alone, unless you're like supplementing with something like sardines or something like that. So omegas are definitely my go-to, especially because obviously most dogs are kibble fed and kibble has an imbalanced omega-3 to 6 ratio. So to try to get that back to where it needs to be anti-inflammatory, omega-3s are pretty critical. We're just all very, very deficient in them and they're absolutely essential for so many parts of building a healthy body and maintaining a healthy body. So that's definitely my go-to like baseline supplement when someone says I'm just doing kibble and I go, okay, dog has flaky skin, allergies, something. It's usually because they don't have enough omegas. Other than that, I definitely have to say CBD and mushrooms are my absolute go-tos. I think they should be a staple in every pet parent's cabinet, but they're not yet, and they really need to be because there's just so much junk out there causing inflammation and immune problems and just rapid aging in our pets that those two things alone can just solve so many issues and really give so much more longevity to your dog over, over their lifespan. And I think it's something people unfortunately wait too long to do, which is what I see a lot, unfortunately. Usually the next go around with the next pet they have, they're more proactive, but a lot of people come in like end of the line, what can I do? And CBD and mushrooms are great no matter what stage of life you're in, but I really wish people would get started with those earlier.
Yeah, that's one of our big passions is figuring out how to make integrative medicine, primary care. Because like you said, the people that come to you, if they're doing it as a preventative measure, they've probably lost a dog in the past to something like this. And if they're not doing it as a preventative measure, a lot of the times it's like a last ditched effort because they've tried everything on the conventional side, which I'm sure you seeing firsthand, that's gotta be heartbreaking knowing like how many tools you have in your tool belt.
Yeah, it is. And it, you know, programming, I hate to use the word programming, but I don't know what other word to use when people come in and they're like, but I heard CBD's not safe. You know, THC's toxic. Like I have to, you know, re-educate people, which helps, you know, that I'm a vet tech because I'm not just a pet store owner. I'm coming from a place where I'm like genuinely trying to help. But it's just, it drives me nuts. Like I just wish more people would be proactive because, you wouldn't need to be at the vet so often. And Dr. Lauren Beard is a dear friend of mine, and she has talked about this. She's like, vets should only be around for trauma and emergency.
Yeah.
They should not be dealing with ear infections. This is something a well-educated pet parent can handle on their own, but there's not enough education for the pet parents. Vets are too busy to be teaching pet parents everything to do. So there has to be resources like you guys that are able to help people be like, oh, I can manage this on my own. I don't need to run to the vet for this, that, and the other thing. Or I could have prevented this. Like,
right.
I've seen it, especially ear infections. That's just one where it's like, oh, come on. We just need to adjust the diet here. And 90% of ear infections are going to be resolved from that alone. But pet parents don't know that. They just want a remedy. They just go, well, give me something to treat this ear infection. Where it's like, okay, I have that. But let's chat food real quick.
Right.
And and that's where their eyes open. They're like, oh, I didn't know that, you know, yeast excretion was a byproduct of a high carb diet. Oh, let me fix that. So you have to, you know, like meet people where they're at and go like, but have you ever thought why that is? Instead of just being like, well, here's the product.
Yeah.
Because I honestly, unfortunately, have a lot of supplements that expire and I'm okay with that because a lot of people just end up switching food and they don't need the supplements anymore. Mm. In terms of like, you know, the remedy supplements that are for conditions and ailments, it's like, yeah, once you switch the food, these problems generally just go away. You just got to give it some time, let your dog's body readjust and heal, and then you're good.
Yeah. One of the craziest things we learned about, and I don't know if it was Dr. Katie Woodley or somebody else, but it's the idea that a lot of times we use holistic practices in conventional ways.
Oh, yeah, it was Dr.
Like,
Katie.
Yeah, rather than like you said, kind of looking at it systemically and saying what could be the root cause here. It's like, oh, my dog has skin and coat issues. I'm just going to try some CBD as like a quick fix. And like that can definitely work. That can definitely help relieve some of the symptoms. But it's probably not going to make it go away on its own. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. When it's our mindset. Like that's what we're used to. The conventional medical world is a like band-aid symptom treatment type of thing. So we go over to the natural side thinking this is safer, which it is, but it needs to be used in a better way where we're not just slapping a band-aid on everything, whether it's herbal or pharmaceutical, that's still not a good solution.
Yeah, it's not just like long-term replacing steroids with CBD. It's like, okay, we have to use this completely differently than how we would use a steroid.
Exactly.
So on the topic of supplements, they're fantastic, but there's the other end of that. And I'm sure this is a term you talk about a lot. We've just started learning about it. The supplement graveyard. Can you explain what that concept is and kind of why it's something we want to try to avoid?
So I think you're talking about where people just have like a bunch.
Yes.
Like myself. I have a whole cabinet of like, supplements.
If I could turn the camera, I'm looking at a whole wall here of different products that we have.
Yeah. It's tough because on one side you do want to give less, right? You want like combinations. That would be great. But then we go back to that problem of like, well, is that good? You know, for this dog, like Bruce, for example, I was giving him a mushroom complex and there were a couple mushrooms in there that were way too warming for him that weren't suitable for him. So it's tough. I would say if you're doing the right foundation, which is food, obviously, you generally don't need to do a million supplements. And I think that's where people get twisted is they're like feeding mediocre kibble. And then, well, I'm going to add omegas and I'm going to add CBD. I'm going to add mushrooms. I'm going to add, I mean, how many other supplements are there? There's a million, right?
Yeah.
But when you could have just fixed the food and maybe just done something on a rotation. So I think that's where things get lost, is people are like, well, I'm in a budget. I have to do this food because it costs me this much a month. Well, did you add in the supplements? Did you add in that you're still doing Apoquil? Did you add in that you're still going to the vet and spending $200 to $300 on an ear infection per visit? Did you total that up and really look at like what it would cost to just feed a little bit, better? It maybe cost you a little bit more, but in the long run, save you a lot and save your dog's overall health. Because if you're going in for an ear infection, sometimes they're bad enough that they need oral antibiotics, and oral antibiotics will destroy the microbiome. So again, it's like you can do all these supplements, right? They're all great for their own reasons, but you have to really have somebody help you along in terms of like, this is overkill. I mean, I've even done it, and that's why I kind of lean back on Rita Hogan a lot, because she helps me with Bruce in terms of like, no, that one's not that great. We should just try to condense and, look at him more individually and really fine tune what's working and what's not. Which, on that note, I will say this, that I think a lot of people make mistakes with supplements. Give them and track. This is a problem I did for many years, is
Us
I did
too.
not keep a good record of when I was starting a supplement and when things changed or got worse, and I gave them all at once and then I didn't know which one was working. So give one at a time, wait at least a few days before you make an evaluation of whether they're good or bad, and stick to them for a week or so before you go adding another one, because you're never going to know what works. And sometimes those things, they might all be great, but when you put them together, there might be some interactions that are not so synergistic. So definitely, keep it simple, keep track. I would say that's critical, because I did not keep track for so many years, and now that I do, it's so enlightening. I'm like, oh, this was directly linked to when I started this one. Cool. Now I know it's working, right?
That is so smart.
That's amazing. And I really like what you said about the higher quality food you feed, the less supplements you're going to have to feed. For example, if you're feeding kibble that doesn't have any omega-3s, you're going to need to add a fish oil supplement. If you're feeding a raw diet that includes grass-fed beef liver and sardines for the seafood section, like you're not going to need to add that stuff. So I really like the kind of focusing on the diet first. And Dr. Katie Woodley says this too, you can't up out supplement a bad diet.
No, I think that's Dr.
Absolutely.
Or Dr. Ruth, one of those. But yeah,
We have
it's
so
like,
many amazing
yeah.
people in
We
our
do.
life
We
now. We're
do.
like,
But like, you
send
can't, you're not gonna, you
it.
know, if your dog has inflammation and you're feeding kibble, you can add CBD oil, you can add omega-3s to help some of those symptoms, but you're kind of still feeding that pro-inflammatory food. And that's that root cause a lot of the times.
Absolutely. It's the same in the people world. Like, you can take a million supplements, but until you fix your diet, you're only going to get so far.
So, because you have such, you kind of have feet in many different worlds, which I think is amazing. What are a lot of the misconceptions that you've seen that pet parents have surrounding their pet's health? Nutrition, supplements, anything like that?
So there's a few. I know you guys already touched on it recently, which was the garlic toxicity thing. That's a funny one where I'm like, yeah, no, that's not true. I would say what I've come into recently is that puppies can't eat raw, or that puppies need a puppy formula. That's a huge misconception. Kibble cleaning teeth, obviously, that's like huge up there, which even the super conventional clinic that I started out at knew that was a lie. So
Really?
I just can't believe it's still being perpetuated. And like, it's one of those things, right? Where you're like, wait, let's break down. When you eat cookies and crackers, did that clean your teeth? Even really hard ones?
We literally are having
No.
the conversation with people, and it's kind of the same conversation with like greenies cleaning teeth. It's like, yeah, because this is a hard thing, there might be some level of scraping plaque and tartar off of your teeth. But like, so would an old leather boot. That doesn't mean it's healthy or contributing to better dental health. So I love that you
Exactly.
brought that one up.
The other one is that dogs can't have milk. Love that one, where I'm like, oh, you should try raw goat's milk for this. They're like, dogs don't drink milk. So
People say
that's
the
all.
same thing about cats, which is funny because it's like the
That used to be the
cartoons.
old-timey
Yeah, I'm
things.
thinking like Tom and Jerry. It's like, saw
Aristocrats.
cats drink milk all the time, you know? It's so
It's like,
funny.
well, the milk that we drink, that's garbage. Yeah, no, they shouldn't drink that. So it's one of those things you have to break down again. And then, of course, the one that I like, just every time I hear it, I have to throw my head up, is grains being good for the heart.
That's probably one of the most prevalent ones right now, yeah. Still.
And that's the one where when people say, like, oh, I need a grain-inclusive food, I don't have a face filter. So they see my face and they're like, why'd you make that face? I'm like, well, how much time do you have? Chat about carbs being carbs and not good for the heart. Period, end of story, and the fact that grains don't contain essential amino acids. So it's, yeah, it's like, really, how much time do you have for me to talk about this topic and really let you know what's going on truthfully, not like propaganda, just like basic biology, how this all works. So that's a myth that just drives me up the wall, because it's totally veterinarian perpetuated and it's completely unfounded.
Absolutely. Well, and I remember probably 6 to 8 months ago, we put out a graphic that just said, you know, dogs and cats have no biological need for carbohydrates in their diet.
I bet you got a lot of flack for that one.
We had a fourth year vet student comment that was, I don't know if they worked for Banfield or if they were an intern, but some affiliation with Banfield. And they commented about like how dogs do need grains and it turns to glucose and that's energy. And we kind of just kept going back and forth, started talking about like gluconeogenesis and stuff. And my last argument was like, hey, I know that you are in the conventional world. Your organization, AFCO, admits that dogs have no need for carbohydrates in their diet. Like, it's not just some random thing that we're making up. And so if dogs have no need for carbohydrates in their diet, and that's not to say certain carbohydrates can't be very beneficial, because they absolutely can.
Oh, like dark leafy greens.
Yes,
sure.
Exactly. Fermented vegetables. I mean, there's lots of different stuff. But if they have no need for carbohydrates in their diet, in what world would grains be beneficial to their heart? And not even just beneficial, but to the point where not including them now damages the heart. It's like, if that was true, every raw-fed dog would have DCM, and they just don't.
Yeah. It shows you the power of, I don't want to say social media, but honestly, that initial article that was written about boutique exotic grain-free foods by Dr. Lisa Freeman, just vets took it and ran. It was the most downloaded article on Vim, which is like the vet, like it's like the vet version of Reddit, kind of. Oh. Like it's their official way to like, oh, let me talk to my vet friends about like how to do whatever. So that was the most downloaded article. Did they ever go back and look at the FDA studies that were done? I mean, how many studies now since this article have come out and shown that there's no factual basis for what she said? But once people get an idea in their head, and I mean, this is human, you know, nature. This is just how our minds work, unfortunately, if you're not open to new ideas, which most people aren't. Yeah. They just get a fixed idea and they get really angry if you in any way threaten that idea that they have that makes them comfy and happy in their little mind. So that is one of them that is a serious trigger in the pet world, is this grain-free debate. And it's a chance for me. It's a chance for me to you know, talk to people and really get them to think about this.
Where I'm like, okay. Because I'm pissed off right now.
Yeah. I'm like, but that's the thing. I mean, I have evolved so much since I first opened the store. I was terrified. And my mentor that owned Natural Pet Market, she's like, you know enough to be a threat. You know enough, Krista. You know enough. And I just kept on learning and learning and learning and learning. Now I'm like, well, why'd your vet say that? I just want to hear what goes on. And I've talked to vets even in my store that have come in, and it's amazing. Like where it's like, you know, this was just something that was in a book that was written by another human. And unfortunately, humans have agendas and money rules this world, especially United States. So you got to look into it and go like, where is this coming from? And unfortunately, this all came from Hill's, Purina, and Mars losing market shares to grain-free foods, even though Hill's had their own grain-free food before this even came out. So it's just, it's disappointing, but it's also just a chance for people like me and my staff and you guys to help give people the truth and help them realize like, no, you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, the old vet I work for, they told somebody their dog died from heart disease and they told them it was from feeding grain-free food. That's wrong. You shouldn't tell parents that, because it comes from no factual basis. And now that makes that person feel like absolute crap.
Yep.
And that's not what it's about. It's about giving people the tools to learn better and do better.
Yeah. And that's what I really like about your mission too. It's about empowering these pet parents and telling them like, hey, you're smart enough to take your dog's health into your own hands. Can you do surgery on a broken leg? No, of course not. That's where vets come in. But like you said, we can handle the diarrhea. We can handle the skin allergies. We can handle a lot of this stuff. With us, it feels like the more we learn, the less we truly know. Does that apply to you as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I question it all. And just that's where I'm like, there's so much. I'm not sure what's right anymore. But then I go back to like, oh, let's just look at each dog and see what works. Because what works for one dog is not going to work for every other dog. I mean, I've unfortunately seen two or three dogs that cannot handle CBD, not even a drop. It sucks. But it's like, okay, this is another lesson. Like, chemicals work different in every body. So you just got to work with what you know and go, I'm really comfortable with this. I feel like this is a good option. And you know, there are things that I might have recommended 4 years ago that I don't recommend anymore. But that's just life. Like, it's, we're all science. Just doing the best we can with the knowledge that we have. Yeah. And so I remind pet parents of that, because there's this loss of like trust in their own intuition of what's right for their pet, because they go to their vet and depending on the vet's bedside manner, they can come out of there feeling like just total crap, like they did everything wrong. And it's like, no, you know your pet best. You did what you thought was right. And now maybe you've learned something and adjusted that. But in the end, pet parents do know their pets best. So that's something that has to be unfortunately reminded a lot, because people are just like, well, my vet said this, my breeder said this, my trainer said this. I'm like, well, does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to your dog? It might or it might not, but actually think about like how you feel about this. Because in the end, if something goes wrong with whoever, whatever doctor told you to do this and something goes wrong, you're going to feel guilty because you just listened and didn't look stuff up, which I have done. Yeah, I have absolutely done that. I have made fear-based decisions in a vet's office and deeply regretted it later.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we were just talking to, we did a podcast the other day with Kimberly Gauthier, and she mentioned something really profound. It's like, you might not be an expert in veterinary medicine, but you are an expert in your own individual dog, and that has to be taken into account.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, again, my little pug, Bruce, is a great example of that. Multiple vets that he sees on a regular basis can't explain some of his stuff. They just go, it's just Bruce.
Yeah.
Which sometimes is infuriating because I'm like, I need you to fix this. But it also just shows you, like, there are dogs that just defy norms.
Yeah.
And only the owner is going to be the one that can make the right decision. Sometimes it's just a matter of just knowing your dog and being like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. Because, like, for example, you take a dog to the vet's office. I mean, I'd say probably 30% are so nervous they're running a fever by the time they're in the vet's office. Not a high fever, but a fever. Does that mean your dog is hot at home? Probably not.
Yeah.
It totally depends on the dog and the situation. So you have to go back to home environment. How is my dog when they're at home and they're not stressed versus what the vet sees is oftentimes a completely different picture. I mean, there are dogs that the owner reports as limping. They come into the vet's office, their adrenaline's so high, they're not limping anymore. And the vet doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have to think about all those little factors that go into it where it's like, yeah, your dog's an individual. And I know that's like Rita Hogan's thing. And it's well-founded to say that and remind people of that constantly. Like, just because this works for most dogs doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for your pet. So
yeah,
I think that's always important to remember for sure.
So do you have any tips on establishing an integrative wellness routine for pet parents?
Well, I'd say start young, start now, start with diet and track everything. I think that is the best way to really get a well-rounded idea of what works and what doesn't, whether it's traditional, herbal, homeopathic, whatever. I would say start with diet. Absolutely. That's the foundation and build from there. You know, get on a really good diet, then see what remains in terms of whatever disease, symptom, illness. You know, start with something good with someone who understands like energetics. I'd say that's very important. Like taking Dr. Judy's quiz on what your dog's energetics are. That's a great idea to get started, to be like, okay, I can tell my dogs the metal element. I should feed more based on metal elements. Not to say that that's the end all be all, because Bruce is like wood and fire. I forget. But I can't feed him all of those foods because he's an inactive little pug. So I'd say start there. I'm trying not to overcomplicate this. Start with food, start with energetics, and then track stuff. It doesn't have to be fancy. Most owners just keep a notebook, jot little things down, so at least they have a date, and go from there. You know, I think people overcomplicate some of this stuff when it comes to like a truly integrative routine, because integrative means you use all the tools in the toolbox, not just one side or the other. So that's basically what I would say to keep it simple, is start with food and track everything.
And then
Give
visit
things
Pug and
time.
Hound Apothecary.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll help you with that.
Krista, I'm sure many people are going to be very interested in you and what you have to offer. So where can they find you? Social media, website? I'm even thinking drop the business address.
Yeah, so our store is Pug and Hound Pet Apothecary. Our website is www.pugandhound, all spelled out, .com. And our social media is pretty much all Pug and Hound or Pug and Hound Pet Apothecary, all spelled out. Our business address, we're in the heart of downtown Geneva, Illinois. Our business address is 308 West State Street in Geneva. We're in a cute little town that's very naturally focused, so it works very well. But yeah, and we have an online store, so anything that's not frozen, we can ship out throughout the world. I've shipped fecal transplant pills to, I think, Slovakia or something a couple months ago.
Whoa, that's
So
awesome.
yeah. So yeah, we have just about everything in our store that's is on our website, on our store page. So yeah, check it out. And I can do consults from a distance. You don't have to be in store to do that. I can do them over the phone, and I write everything down. I make little notes. I send off a protocol so that people can, have a hard copy to follow. So you can find me almost anywhere.
Amazing.
Any related to Pug and Hound.
I love it. And for those listening or watching, we'll include all of those links in the description below, so you can definitely find them there. Krista, thank you so much. This was
Thank you.
amazing, and it's so cool to talk to somebody that has such a knowledge base. I mean, you've had so much experience in this world, and we just couldn't be more thankful for you coming and sharing that with our audience.
Well, it's all Bruce, so
I love
our
it.
dogs are little teachers, and Bruce
They
is a
are.
wise little professor, so
Thank you, Bruce.
I am just his student
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you,
and
Krista.
servant.
Yeah, it was great to talk to you.
Thank you. Thanks
Yeah,
so much.
absolutely. And for those of you that are listening, we really appreciate you choosing to spend your day with us. As always, I'm Bryce,
I'm Kinsey.
and we'll see you in the next episode.